Good evening. This is Dr. Arliss Wood, psychologist, along with Suzanne Wood, speech-language pathologist. This is KGVM 95.9 and KGVM.org on the internet, sponsored with contributions to the Public Education Committee of the Montana Psychological Association. Tonight is a pure therapeutic experience. Sit back, take a deep breath, and relax. Here's Dr. Suzanne to tell you more.
Today's show is a direct prescription from KGVM for your mental health. And the antidote we're offering is research-based, and it works. And KGVM is giving you this medicine in abundance right now. We begin with some advice from Johns Hopkins University. If you want to firm up your body, head to the gym. If you want to exercise your brain, listen to music. There are few things that stimulate the brain the way music does. If you want to keep your brain engaged throughout the aging process, listening to or playing music is a great tool. It provides a total brain workout. Research has shown that listening to music can reduce anxiety, reduce blood pressure, reduce pain, as well as improve sleep quality, mood, mental alertness, and memory. And each of those is well research-based. Tonight, we're so fortunate to have Carrie Krause and John Linty, who are heavenly musicians, here to treat our woes with the best therapy. Welcome, Carrie and John. Tell us a bit about how you began to study and provide this type of medicine for our spirits.
I guess I've sort of always played music. Initially, it was medicine for me, but then I guess when I got to my late teens, I started playing in bars, and I started playing at weddings and funerals and all sorts of other places, and that sort of led me to understand what music could do for other people. And then that was before my life as a lute player. But then when I got more seriously into playing Baroque music, I found that it was sort of, just to borrow your metaphor, it was a little bit like moving from over-the-counter medicine to some more powerful narcotics and things, because the music that I found was of such incredible emotional power, particularly the kind of 17th century music we'll be hearing today. It really spoke to me, and I really do like your way of thinking of it as medicine.
And there's some research that supports that classical and meditation music, like you're discussing, provided the greatest mood-boosting benefits. And unfortunately, or fortunately, heavy metal and techno music were found to be ineffective and even detrimental. So when you segued to these beautiful instruments, what you found out was very profound for all of us. John?
Oh, yes. Well, and I think particularly some of the music that you'll hear us do today by Schmelzer and Bieber, it's music that I've always thought was probably intended, at least in some way, to be therapeutic, even when it was written, because these were composers who lived in the years after the 30 Years' War, which for a lot of places in Germany, the 30 Years' War eliminated up to 75% of the population. This was a country in trauma, and it was a country that had its population reduced by so much. And so a lot of the music has this wonderful meditative or congenial or reassuring nature to it that I find particularly moving.
I do too, and your comments were very research-based there, which we in the scientific field applaud because it's been shown to be without a doubt. And the instruments you use and the music you play, tell us just a little bit more about that, John, and then we'll start with the first offering.
Well, the instruments that Carrie and I play are what we refer to in the business as period instruments. Carrie's playing a violin, but it is a violin strung with gut strings, and she's using a bow that is markedly different than a modern bow. My instrument does not have a modern equivalent. It's called the theorbo. That's T-H-E-O-R-B-O. And it is the largest member of the lute family. So it's got a teardrop-shaped body and a bowl for a back. And then it has sort of two necks, one neck of seven strings that are played more or less like a guitar, and a second longer neck. Your listeners might want to look this up, because I'm not describing it all that well. A second longer neck with seven strings that are like the low end of a harp. And so it's kind of a combined guitar and bass. And it was popular from about 1600 till about 1720. And both instruments, I think, well, the Baroque violin is a more intimate sounding instrument than the modern violin, I think, more vocal in its sound. And the theorbo, with these big, long, beautiful bass strings, it makes this plummy sound that kind of, well, almost everybody melts a little bit when they hear some good theorbo bass notes. I'll flatter the instrument by saying that, but it's just a fact of life that you hear a big old funkin' bass note out of a theorbo and you know you're in for something good.
Well, and we've seen those in person at your performance, and they're lovely instruments. And so maybe, Carrie, could you introduce our first piece of music?
The first piece we're going to hear is the first piece that is on our recently released album, and it is called Sonata La Monella Romanesca by Pandolfi Miali.
Oh, that was just lovely music. Wow, we really appreciate that. So relaxing, as you said. And Carrie, tell us a little bit, while we're waiting for our next music, about how you became interested in music.
Well, I don't remember because I was only three. But according to my violin playing mom, it was my idea to play the violin. And I just could never stop doing it. I never thought I would be a professional player. But I always loved the infinite challenge. And I loved working on a big challenge on my own. I always felt at home when I could be practicing no matter where I was or what was going on in my life. But you also get to have a social element, and that's really the most rewarding, is when you get to make music with others. And so I just never was able to stop doing it, and had a dream of being concertmaster in a small mountain town, and here I am.
That's fantastical. And research shows that listening to music enhances cognitive performance, but learning and playing music is ultimately many, many times more powerful in developing powerful cognitive sources and developments. And so what you've done is good for all of us, but also inherently good for you, Carrie. That's great. Where all do you play now? What, tell us some of your venues. We've seen you play beautifully in a garden setting with flowers all around and beautiful late afternoon sun and a river rolling by. So what are some of your other venues? Where can people come to see you?
Well, John and I have played together in Carnegie Hall, but I think we both agree our favorite places to play are right around here. And we love to play in very small settings for small audiences. And part of the joy of being artistic director of Baroque Music Montana is thinking about where we can play and developing relationships with the people that make that possible. It's tremendously rewarding to be able to bring music to very unlikely places like Columbus, Montana, which doesn't even have a coffee shop, to the oldest bank building in Montana, which is in Lewistown, to the oldest operating theater in Montana, which is Phillipsburg, to people's houses and backyards and museums, and to highlight special beloved places by staging a concert there, which allows people to just spend time in a really relaxed way and take in their surroundings in a way that you wouldn't if you weren't sitting there listening to music.
That is so fantastical that you take the music where it needs to be, where people can, who otherwise might never have an opportunity, can sit and enjoy this divine therapy. It is medicinal and therapeutic along with beautiful. And that is so impressive. And the fact that you played in Carnegie Hall is somewhat impressive too.
Well, most professional musicians have had a chance to do that.
Well, let's say professional musicians on the level that you and John find yourself. So, and coming from that direction, maybe you could, one of you could introduce our next piece of music.
The next piece that we will hear is the Passacaglia in G minor by Bieber, and this is for solo baroque violin. And it features a descending set of four notes that happen without stop through the entire piece, and it represents the guardian angel.
Thank you.
again. That is just breathtaking and so beautifully relaxing. I would encourage everyone in the audience to deep breathe and just sit back and really use this session to gain another level of relaxation and good health. And one thing I've noticed in your concerts is that you all talk about the history of the instruments, and you also talk about the history of the music and how it was written, and that's equally fascinating. So if you could maybe tell us a little bit about some of the musicians and music that you play.
Well, learning about the history of what we do is a big part of the fun of playing the music. And I guess I've always sort of thought that it also helps to inform how we play and how we think about what we're doing.
And also the music that we play is so old that it's helpful for our audiences to hear those stories, to be able to connect with the music. I mean, it's very beautiful on its own and tuneful, that it does resonate just as it stands on its own, but it's nice to be able to feel that connection with history. And we all want to learn, too. So I'm always learning from John.
Yeah, I don't think you ever run out of new things or things to try or learn in the music world. Could that be a correct statement?
Absolutely.
Absolutely, yes. It really does never stop. It's a lifelong educational process.
And you still have lots of goals that maybe one day you'd like to try this one or that one. Could that be true?
Oh, sure. There's just infinite number of pieces and projects and collections of pieces to explore and styles and different musicians to play with. Right now, we are preparing our next tour, John and I, touring a French program, which is a completely different style of music that both of us actually feel a bit of an imposter even trying to do, not being native French, because that style is so involved in terms of its nuance and suavité and all of the ornamentation, and just their mindset was completely different. And so, you know, we're always seeking that next big mountain to climb.
A whole different set of complexities. Wow.
Is there any piece of music that you find particularly soothing, magical, relaxing that you've ever played?
Well, I would say some of the pieces that John has recorded on this album are some of my favorite ones in that category.
Oh, well, should we perhaps hear a solo of the Orville piece next?
Sure. Oh, yes, please introduce.
Okay, well, so this piece is called Lusinghevole Passeggio, which is it's a wonderful mouthful of syllables, and what it really means is very flattering notes. Passeggio, in this case, just sort of means bunch of notes played, and lusinghevole, it could mean flattering or it could mean caressing, and it is by a composer who lived a very fascinating life, a guy called Bellerofonte Castaldi. Now, Castaldi's life was, he was kind of a swashbuckling figure. He was a poet and a theorbo player and a man about town in Modena, where the balsamic vinegar comes from. And he was jailed many times for writing seditious poetry about the church and about political leaders. Mm-hmm. And he also, he walked with a pronounced limp because of an injury sustained during a duel, but he also was...
Amazing how many musicians have an injury from being in a duel.
Yes.
Oh, for Pete's sake.
Yeah, they really weren't that good at settling their differences in, you know, they needed therapy.
They needed definitely. To listen to their own music.
Yes, that's quite true. But so this Lusinghevole Passeggio is one of the pieces that I've been playing it ever since I got a theorbo 20 years ago, and it is simply an ecstatically meditative piece, I think. It's whenever I play it, I find I'm kind of lost. And
I find that I get more and more grounded.
Yeah.
You just settle and settle and settle down more.
Because this piece does not incur... Yeah, I suppose this is not a piece that has a strong sense of forward motion. It has a sense of needing to be exactly where it is.
Which we need more of that. I find that a nice reprieve for my normal life.
Stabilizing.
Yes. Yeah. So here is the Lusinghevole Passeggio of Bellerofante Castaldi.
Once again, that music is beyond all beautiful and lovely. We really appreciate getting to hear this. And we were wondering also if you all write music occasionally.
Once in a long while. I'm the father of an 8-year-old boy, and a big part of my life is spent, you know, singing motivational songs to get him to do things like brush his teeth or clean his room or finish his dinner or, you know, good stuff like that. So as a composer, that is my main outlet. I'm constantly improvising. That's the nature of what I do, is that I'm composing everything I play always on the spot.
Okay.
So the music...
When you're playing continuo.
Yes, when I'm playing basso continuo with Carrie. So the Lusinghevole passeggio that we just heard, I won't take any credit for that.
Because that was for a solo.
Yes, that is...
Solo instrument.
That's a solo that is fully written out by the composer. But in the case of any sonata that I ever play with Carrie, I just have a bass line, and it is up to me to improvise harmonies above it to accompany with.
And strum patterns.
And yes,
figuration. And
so I guess I get my composition needs are met by doing a lot of improvisation.
Mm-hmm. And as an educator, I have a hot tip for you. One of the research studies about music I found was that when you're trying to memorize something, singing it can reduce the amount of time taken to memorize it. So with that 8-year-old, when he has to memorize things, you might employ music to help shorten the learning time.
Oh, certainly.
And others in the audience could do that as well. So
would that be like singing the instructions with particular beat or
yep.
length or screeching?
Yes.
Or even to Mary Had a Little Lamb, to sing whatever lesson you're trying to memorize. So
exactly, yes.
Speaking of your son, what would you musicians tell young people about going into the music field, how to think about it, how to plan, what preparation? You all are highly professional recording artists who went to Carnegie Hall. Talk about how you reached that pinnacle, and also maybe just about a music career in general.
Well, music can be a wonderful part of anyone's life on any level, and it's never too late to start that. It's a great gift for kids to start young, of course. But I teach quite a lot in Bozeman, and it's amazing to be able to have a long-term relationship with my students through all of their years of growing up through music, and the ways of challenging their brain and processing what's going on in their life through music is really, really rewarding. I would say that if you have an inclination to play a particular instrument or a particular style, that's really, really important, rather than feeling like doing something that you should do or someone else wants you to do. We just have these innate attractions and needs and desires, you know, towards certain instruments, certain music that is really profound. And the trick then is to just keep it going. And the power of working on something every day, even if it's a little bit, but having the long-term dedication to it, sticking with it, is what will allow one to derive pleasure from it in the long term, pleasure and reward.
Well, one of the things we studied in prep here was that music therapy has no negative impacts, no negative side effects. It's a very safe and low risk approach to treatment. And so music therapy used in the therapeutic setting, in a medical setting, is something that has no risks. And do you also, how do you feel about the music therapy world and music therapy as a job?
I have a number of friends who have gone into the music therapy field, and I think it's such a wonderful thing to do with one's life. You know,
I was really intrigued by it at one point in my life.
Yeah, I think almost like all of us are powerful. Almost all of us are tempted by it at some point. And but I have some family members who are going through some serious health problems right now, and one of them is actually leaning a great deal on music as part of their treatment, and I think it is amazing what it can do in people's lives. And, you know, sort of, you know, so many of the things that we've learned, especially through memory care, about how music is still hardwired into us, even if a lot of other things are going away, that this can be a way of interacting with people. I'm certainly not formally trained as a therapist of any kind, but, you know, I do a lot of playing at retirement communities, and it's often, you know, such a wonderful thing to get to really treat the music as medicine, like you were talking about earlier.
And I realized somewhat into my early professional career that part of our job as musicians is to play at weddings and funerals and when people are ill. And that's certainly not a part of the normal conservatory training. But I think professional musicians would agree that that's very much becomes an incredibly important part of our jobs.
I'm just wondering, since both of you play instruments, do you also sing?
No.
not professionally. I do sing quite a lot for my own enjoyment and for other people's, hopefully, enjoyment.
Absolutely.
Yes.
I love it when you sing, John.
Well, just one more bit of wonderful research about music. Runners who listen to music are able to run faster and have greater endurance as long as they have that music coming in. And listening to fast-paced music motivates people to work harder. So every factory line, every place people are, it would only be a help to play some really upbeat, strong music for them. And speaking of that, for our mental health, I think we might be ready to introduce the next music.
So this will be the Sonata Quarta. That's the fourth sonata from a collection called Sonate Unarum Fidium by Johann Heinrich Schmelzer. And Schmelzer is a composer who's particularly dear to Carrie and me. We've been playing his music together for 15 years now. And this particular piece, we chose it to close our CD in part because it's ecstatically beautiful.
And very energetic. And will motivate you to go do lots of work or run fast at the end.
Yes. Yeah. The beginning part of it is going to get you nice and mellow. And then as it picks up, it'll get you energized to, I don't know, go floss your teeth and all those other good things that we should be doing.
For sure.
Yes. Thank you.
Wow, we just can't thank you enough. We're so sorry that we're having to finish this message, this therapy, this wonderful medicine for our spirits tonight. We hope to have you all back soon. Tell us one more time quickly how we can order your CD or where they can find it.
Our album can be found through Baroque Music Montana's website, which is baroquemusicmontana.org, or you can Google Sonata Trey Montana, and it comes up on various platforms for your listening enjoyment.
Perfect. Thank you. We cannot thank you enough for this splendid, peaceful, wonderful evening. Thank you, dears. We'll hope to see you again soon.
All right. Thank you so much for having
us. Thank you. Have a wonderful evening.
And thank you, KGVM listening audience. Continue to listen to Health and Happiness Mondays at 7 p.m. and Thursday mornings at 9. Thank you again.